live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter X, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Peter Burns going to stop by from the SEC Network, coming up an hour 20 from now at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific time. We will do a ton, and I mean a ton, of college football today. We are here in our New York City studios Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. And we are on the road on Friday in D.C. We'll be at Army-Navy for a little radio row on Friday. And then you do have the Army-Navy game coming up on Saturday. Heisman Trophy. We'll find out who are the finalists tonight. I have submitted my vote. I have put my vote in. I did so late Saturday night. I was a good, respectable voter. I waited for the conference championship games to end. And then away we go. I did put in my Heisman Trophy vote late Saturday night, maybe even early Sunday morning. And we'll find out on Saturday. I'll be at the Heisman Trophy presentation on, is it going to be Ashton Jeanty? Is it going to be Travis Hunter? Will it be Dylan Gabriel, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Scataboo? Like, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? But what a fun 2 days of college football on Friday and on Saturday. Congratulations on Friday to Army. Congratulations on Friday to Boise State. Then we saw a few epic conference championship games. Georgia, even after losing their quarterback, they were able to outlast Texas in overtime. You had Oregon and Tez Johnson. It was unbelievable up against Penn State. The Sun Devils, I thought that was going to be an epic back-and-forth game. And then Arizona State just blew them out. And then you had that wild ACC championship game, where the ACC championship game really set us up for what was a day of debate late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, before we got the results by the committee, which leads to the biggest topic of conversation. Did the committee get it right? Did SMU deserve to go? Or should Alabama got into the college football playoff? And, you know, I had a tweet of mine that got picked up in a few articles. When SMU was getting blown out by Clemson, I said SMU's playing themselves out of the college football playoff, because even though all week last week I said, if you're a Miami fan, shut up. If you're an Ole Miss fan, shut up. If you're a South Carolina fan, shut up. Like, you didn't do enough to make it clear and obvious on the Tuesday rankings that you deserve to belong in a 12-team format for the college football playoff. But I said all through last week that the only time I'd be irate with the rankings is if Selection Sunday comes and goes, SMU loses to Clemson, and SMU doesn't go and they get penalized for losing in a conference championship game when they had one loss all throughout the year. So even with that being said, when SMU was getting blown out, there's sometimes I think something should happen, and I know it won't happen. I thought that SMU had no chance to get into the college football playoff. And then SMU's just started to slowly chip away, chip away, chip away, and then bam, they tie up the game or they get a touchdown to bring them within one. And I'm sitting there on my couch with 15 seconds to go, and I had a buddy of mine over who's a big Penn State fan, went to Penn State. Hanging out with people that went to Penn State. I know, surprise, surprise, but one of my close friends is a Penn Stater. So we had some rigatoni alla vodka. We had some chicken parm heroes. We had some cannolis. I had a credit on DoorDash. So we were just going ham. We didn't have ham, but we were going ham on the food. Had a little Caesar salad as well from this place, Parm. And we were ordering. We were eating, watching the games, all that stuff. And when SMU pulls within one, I'm saying Rhett Lashley has to go for two. Like, solidify your spot in the college football. Just go for it. And then he kicks the PAT. Clemson gets a great return. They make one throw, and then boom, they hit a 56-yard field goal. And in that moment, because I'll unpeel the curtain back a little bit, and I'll peel back the curtain a little bit, Samter and I were texting all late Saturday night. Samter may or may not have had a cocktail or two while he's watching his Arizona State Sun Devils. And Santa was very aggressive on his text to Stu and I, just with his enthusiasm and the passion that he has for the Arizona State Sun Devils. So I knew this was a celebratory day for Santa, and he may have started hitting the bottle a little bit earlier than normal on a Saturday. So I go, hey, when the games end, I want to get my predictions out. So Santa, to his credit, was like a mad scientist. He's like, well, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happened? This guy has 6 different brackets. So I told Santa, when it looked like it was a blowout, I didn't think SMU was going to get in. So I know he gave me other alternatives if they came back, but I was a little stubborn. Once SMU still didn't win the game, even after the impressive comeback, I sat there and I said to myself, I even said on my Sunday show yesterday on Sunday Morning Football right here on the network, I said, I think SMU should go, but I don't think they will. And I really didn't believe up until that Brett McMurphy tweet where, you know what, how obnoxious is that? Brett McMurphy, you got a selection show. I know you're an insider, and I know it's not his fault because someone leaked him the information, but whoever leaked him the information of the results in that room that SMU got in and that Alabama didn't, shame on you, because it takes the entire suspense out of the show. And I know you could look at the betting lines, and the betting lines indicated that SMU was going to get in and Alabama wasn't. But how that was ruined for us and that was spoiled for us, I really did hate it. But I sat there up until that Brett McMurphy tweet and I said, SMU should go, but I don't trust the committee. And say what you want about the committee. And the committee is hypocritical. They have inconsistencies a ton. But on the final bracket, they were consistent. And the theme for the committee was not penalizing teams that lost their conference championship game. Because I really did think that we were going to see, I think I had Notre Dame 5, I thought Texas was going to be 6, Ohio State 7, and then Penn State was going to fall to 8. But the committee didn't penalize Texas and Penn State, who do not have great wins this year. And in their big game up against Oregon and Ohio State, Penn State lost. Texas lost to Georgia twice. They didn't penalize Texas and Penn State for losing close conference championship games. So we saw Texas 5, Penn State 6. You obviously had Notre Dame 7. And then you had Ohio State in an 8. So that was consistent. Once you had SMU in, they said, we're not going to take away and we're not going to reward right teams that didn't make the conference championship game. So SMU's going to get in, Alabama's not, and we're going to still give the edge and the benefit of the doubt to Texas and Penn State for losing their conference championship games compared to Notre Dame, who doesn't have a conference, and Ohio State because they lost to Michigan. Once again, we'll remind you that because they were sitting home on their ass during the Big Ten championship game. So those were the takeaways from that. And since then, there's a conversation of did Alabama get screwed? And I'll get to that in just a second, but the bracket ended up being, just to reiterate it, the byes were Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Arizona State. No problem with that whatsoever. It was pretty obvious that was going to be the case. Our first round matchups, Notre Dame 7, Indiana 10, Penn State 6, SMU 11, Texas 5, Clemson 12, and Ohio State 8, Tennessee 9. Here is what I will say. And let me make this abundantly clear to Alabama fans. And Alabama fans, I defended you last week when Miami fans were bitching and complaining. And by the way, Miami fans, how much air did you waste last week? How much of your breath did you just waste on absolutely nothing? Even if they would have put you in the bracket last week over Alabama, the debate then would have been Miami or SMU, and you still would have been left out. So the Miami fan, we talked way too much about you last week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it was all for nothing practically after we saw what happened with the ACC championship game and then what did transpire on Sunday. But to any Alabama fan that's saying we got screwed, I know what your argument is. Your argument is this. Well, we're a better team than SMU. Okay. I can't debate that. I do think that your wins are better than SMU's wins. You have 2 wins, 1 against Georgia, 1 against South Carolina. SMU doesn't have a win on their resume that's better than those wins. In a 4-team format, I think you could get screwed. In a 12-team format, I don't think you could get screwed. So even if you think you're a better team, fine, but you also thought you were a better team when you went up against Vanderbilt. You also thought you were a better team when you went up against Oklahoma, and guess what? You lost. So just because you think you're a better team doesn't mean you deserve to go. The bottom line is Alabama didn't do enough. In a year where outside of Oregon, where everyone stubbed their toe and then was able to get back up and a lot of teams stubbed their toe again, you did that. And you didn't do enough to make it clear and obvious that you belonged in a 12-team format. So for the committee to go with SMU, quite frankly, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. Don't lose to Vanderbilt. Don't lose to Oklahoma. Just win one of those games between Vandy and Oklahoma, and I really do believe you would have made the college football playoff. And you would have made the college football playoff easily. And now let me get to the Alabama AD. Because the Alabama AD, can you just go out in a graceful, classy way one time? Like, I heard our pal Kalen DeBoer speak to the media. He said, I believe in our football team, but clearly we didn't do enough. This Alabama AD, Greg Byrne, who's talking about how disappointed he is with the outcome and how in future years they're not going to schedule tough games at a conference. I guess I missed the Alabama schedule this year. We're at a conference. They played Notre Dame. They played Ohio State. Right? They had this great out-of-conference schedule. You played Western Kentucky. You played South Florida. You went to Camp Randall and you played a pathetic Wisconsin team that had their quarterback injured in the game. You played Mercer, late in the season. So save me, Greg Byrne, the small violin on how, in future years, we're not going to play tough out-of-conference teams. You didn't make the playoff because you lost in conference to a lousy Oklahoma team and a Vanderbilt team who was gritty this year. But let's be real, your team failed to show up because they were still celebrating the Georgia victory. That's why you didn't get in. Because of those two losses in the SEC. And you didn't make it clear and obvious to go in a 12-team format. I have zero sympathy. And I like Alabama. I love Kalen DeBoer. But I have zero sympathy for any school complaining about being left out of a 12-team format. In a 4-team format, you feel like you could get screwed. In a 12-team format, I don't think you could get screwed in a 12-team format because there's so many ways to get in. And outside of Oregon, I don't know if there's a great team in college football this year. They're the only team that's undefeated. Man, we have a 3-loss team. We were talking about maybe 2 3-loss teams getting into the college football playoff. So you didn't do enough. And that's the bottom line. And now the future of Alabama football, I think there will be great overreactions. I do. I think a lot of people are going to be negative about Kalen DeBoer. That's fine. Kalen DeBoer got to a national championship at Washington. In year one, though, they had some good moments where they beat LSU, they beat Georgia, but they weren't good enough. And I said this going into the year, so it'd be disingenuous now if I walked it back. Alabama's season would be a failure if they didn't make the college football playoff. I never said they needed to go to a national championship game. I never said they needed to win a playoff game. But when you're replacing Nick Saban, and with the talent that you have, you can't have enough inconsistencies that you displayed where you miss a 12-team format. So is there pressure on Kalen DeBoer? Yes. Do I still think Kalen DeBoer is the right guy for the Alabama job? Yes, I do. But to not make the college football playoff for Alabama in year one post-Nick Saban, it's not a good look. And it's going to show you that it's not as easy as it used to be for Big Bad Alabama. Do I think Kalen DeBoer is capable of winning a national championship one day at Alabama? Absolutely, I do. But I don't want to hear it from the AD about, the non-conference schedule. It'd be one thing if you didn't get in because you had a loss to Notre Dame or you had a loss to Ohio State. Say, like, come on. Your only 3 losses were all in conference against a bad Oklahoma team a gritty Vanderbilt team and a Tennessee team who's good, but your quarterback didn't show up and he had no awareness in that game, and that's why you lost it by 7 points. So that's where I stand on that. I have no great over-the-top overreactions to what the committee did. Like, there's some things I can nitpick. I don't think Alabama got screwed. I'm fine with SMU getting in. If you want to tell me the order, 5 through 8, with teams like Texas, Penn State, and, you know, you go through those teams and you see Ohio State as well and Notre Dame. If you want to tell me, like, that order you'd like to change, maybe Oregon, who's the best team in the nation right now, got a tough draw, that they got to face the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State, okay, that's fair. But there's nothing that I look at with what the committee did where I go, I'm incensed about it. And if you are, it's just because you're miserable and you love to complain. All right? Like, that's just the bottom line. We could all bitch about something. It doesn't mean the bitching is valid. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Florida right out of the gate. Larry's first up on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Larry!
Hey, buddy. I talked to you yesterday morning. I said SMU got a break because all ESPN, ABC, Disney cares about is a two prime Friday night and Saturday night 8 o'clock games has to be filled by Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame. They have three teams. That's all they cared about. And they were filled by Notre Dame and Ohio State. What happened? Sure enough, Ohio State and Notre Dame got the 8 o'clock spots on Friday and Saturday. So they didn't need Alabama. And that's why SMU got the pick.
Yeah, but don't, but you have to admit the TV company, you know, ESPN would much rather have Alabama than SMU.
But they had the 8 o'clock spots filled.
I understand that with Alabama. Indiana, Notre Dame, and then they have Tennessee, Ohio State. Yes, that makes sense to put Notre Dame in primetime. That makes sense to put Ohio State primetime. But if Alabama was undefeated this year, you don't think they would have got one of those primetime spots?
Yeah, they would have. But they only care. The ratings and the money does not matter in that 4:30 window. It only counts in that 8 o'clock window. So they needed two of those three.
Well, they put Texas in the 4 p.m. window. Texas is a pretty big brand. They put Texas Clemson in the 4 o'clock window.
But again, like I said to you yesterday, SMU got the break that Ohio State and Notre Dame did not get a bye, that they were both going to play 8 o'clock spots on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
So Alabama was not going to be pushed by ESPN, ABC, Disney to the committee yesterday. And I think that really helped SMU.
Larry, I appreciate it. I understand in some years where that theory could be valid. In this case, I just don't. It doesn't line up and make sense to me. And Notre Dame can't get a bye anyway because they're not in a conference. I understand, Larry, that yes, Notre Dame's going to get a primetime spot. Ohio State's going to get a primetime spot. But I don't think those schools getting a primetime spot is why you would then say, oh, we still don't want Alabama in the mix. Like, if the decision was directly up to Disney, I'm sure they would have put Alabama in over SMU. And some years there are conspiracy theories that I think we lay into. This year, I don't think there's a year for a conspiracy theory here because Big Bet Alabama didn't get in and SMU did. So I don't think we need a justification. I think the point that is obvious here is the committee had a theme yesterday. And the theme was, we're not screwing over teams that lost in their conference championship game. SMU got in. You had good seeds for Texas and also for Penn State in that 5-6 spot. And that is what I thought the theme was, not, oh, Notre Dame's 8 o'clock on that Friday, Ohio State's 8 o'clock on that Saturday, so therefore we don't need to have Alabama in and we could bury SMU up against Penn State at noon on Saturday. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I appreciate the phone call, Larry, and appreciate you making it 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Did the selection committee get it right? Did SMU deserve to go in, and are you fine with them going in over Alabama? 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. And when we come on back, my first reaction yesterday when I look at coaches, I think there are two coaches who are under a tremendous amount of pressure to reach the semifinal. Where one coach that I'm going to mention, I don't think it will surprise anybody. The other coach, I think, could surprise some people because we don't usually talk about him in a way where I usually say there's a lot of pressure on this coach and I usually praise him. We'll get to those two coaches when we come on back right here on the Infinity Sports Network. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll get to which two college coaches are under the most pressure as we enter the college football playoff. Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Boise State 3, Arizona State 4. First round matchups, Ohio State, Tennessee 8-9, Texas, Clemson 5-12, Penn State 6, SMU 11, Notre Dame 7, Indiana 10. Stu, two things. Number one, so I am going to the national championship game. I'll be doing the show there in Atlanta on Monday. And then I'll get up early Tuesday morning and fly back here to do the recap on that Tuesday. I saw that the Orange Bowl is the semifinal. And that is, I think, on a Thursday before wild card weekend in the NFL. You know, I'm debating potentially, because I got family in Florida. I'm debating maybe, you know, put in a credential request and go to the semifinal on that Thursday. And then maybe I fly back Friday to do the show from Florida or something like that. So that's on my mind, but I haven't fully decided yet. I'll definitely go to the national championship game. And I am going to go to the Pinstripe Bowl, which you saw a Yankee game? I mean, a college football game at Yankee Stadium before?
I did. It was actually the Pinstripe Bowl when Notre Dame played Rutgers maybe like 10 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah, so it's Nebraska and it's Boston College. So I got to go see my guys over at Nebraska at the Pinstripe Bowl. I don't ever think I've seen a college football game in a baseball stadium, so I always wonder what the vantage points are going to be like for that.
Yeah, from what I remember, it's not great. It's just not ideal because it's a small, for a baseball stadium, it's small, and then you're trying to put a football field inside of it. It's, I don't know.
How did you think about Notre Dame's draw, by the way? 7-10, you get Indiana. You know Cignetti's going to be going nuts and saying they got screwed and, you know, why are they ranked 10 and Google me. And I saw Marcus Freeman already said, oh, yeah, I Googled their coach. Notre Dame, they had that horrible loss after that great win in week one up against A&M in Aggieland. Then they did not bounce back and they did not continue that where they lost to NIU. But since then, they have won 10 in a row to finish off the season 11-1. Run game's been really good. Defense been playing well, led by Xavier Watts. Riley Leonard has taken a huge stride. But you know that Indiana team with Curtis Rourke and company, they're a confident bunch. When you look at the first round draw, are you happy that it's Indiana? You're like, I'd rather have Notre Dame moved up a spot or maybe back a spot when you look at the draws.
Yeah, I obviously would have rather. I mean, I'm glad they didn't get the 8 because I'd rather play Indiana than Tennessee. But
okay.
I absolutely would have loved to be 5th or 6th, but I think the committee got it right. I think you can't penalize those two teams for losing close games in their conference championship game. So Notre Dame gets slotted in at 7. I think that's fair. I think it's going to be a close game against Indiana. I think they'll win, but I think it'll be like 4 points,
I think it's going to be a sloppy game.
Yeah, low scoring.
If it's high scoring, I favor Indiana on
Agreed.
That. If
Agreed.
The game is played in the 20s, like mid-20s and below, then I think Notre Dame is going to be able to find a way to get the victory. But if you win, you get Georgia, and Georgia, Carson Beck, his arm was about to fall off, and he got hurt right before the end of the first half of the SEC championship game, and then he was in for the final play because you had Gunnar Stockton take over. What a great football name, by the way. And his helmet fell off, and I thought it was targeting, and I'm like, oh, that stinks because then you're going to be out the first half of Texas's playoff game, and then they said, oh, no, it's not targeting, but then he had to sit out of play because the helmet fell off, and then you had ATN out there, Beck with basically one arm handing the ball off, and ATN put it in the end zone. But there's some reports out there that they don't think Carson Beck is going to be able to play, which would be the second round, but Georgia's first college football playoff game. I think that's the Sugar Bowl. So if that's the case,
yeah, it is. Yep.
Man, Notre Dame, Indiana, I know that we could look at Georgia, and I know that Carson Beck wasn't playing well to be fair anyway, and he hasn't been playing well really all this season. But when you have Georgia in that spot, if Notre Dame wins, that's a winnable game, even though Georgia, right, we're all saying is vulnerable and they still won the SEC. It's not as if this is Georgia from 2-3 years ago or even last year, where if you're Notre Dame or Indiana, you're shaking in your boots getting a second round matchup against Georgia.
I think Notre Dame would lose that game.
Okay.
I don't feel confident that they can beat Georgia.
But
I think Georgia.
Could it be a game?
I think Georgia would win by 10.
Okay. Even with the backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think the talent around the quarterback is so much more than anything that Notre Dame's faced this year, and I think they'll not be able to contend with that.
855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Kevin in San Antonio. Kevin, appreciate you calling as always. How you been?
Hey, Zach, I'm doing fine, man. This is my second time, and I'm going to be keeping on calling you on your show. Now, what I know, you know, this is just the beginning of this playoff picture with the college football. It's just like the college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have teams that are going to shock the big schools and so forth. And, you know, I know Alabama, I hate that they didn't pick Alabama. SMU is resurrecting. They coming back. And, you know, I think they should just expand it. What do you think?
I don't want to see any more teams. Now, Kevin, with that being said, I do think they will expand it because the first jump was from 4 to 12. So if they make that drastic of a jump, I do think they'll eventually go from like 12 to 14 or 12 to 16, depending on the format, because money does influence it. But I really do believe that the committee wanted to stress a point because there was a lot of narratives once we went from 4 to 12. And one of the narratives were, hey, the conference championship games really don't matter. So if they kept SMU out after going 11-1 because they lost a conference championship game by 3 points and 11-2, some people would have said, well, if SMU just didn't make the conference championship game and they were at 11-1, they wouldn't even have been up for debate to not make the college football playoffs. So since they lost in the conference championship game, they didn't want to punish SMU. And then also you saw that in the seedings of Texas and Penn State being the first spots that weren't by being 5-6, and they lost in their conference championship game. So
I just
want consistency, Kevin, and we got consistency from the CFP.
Okay. Well, this is just the beginning, and, you know, it's going to get better.
Now, you're a chef, right? Don't you like to cook, if memory serves me right?
I'm a cook. I love to cook.
Mm-hmm. So what are you cooking up? Like, if I came over your house and we're watching one of the first college football playoff games, what are you cooking up? Just wondering.
I'm just wondering. I could cook up some hot dogs, some fries, or hamburgers and so forth.
A little ribs? Like, could we get a little saucy here, or is it just hot dogs and hamburgers?
I'm learning. I'm going to cook some ribs one day.
So you're in the infant stages of being a chef, Ben. You could cook me a hot dog, you cook me a hamburger. If we could maybe work in some brisket or a filet mignon cheesesteak, then I think I come over and we have a beer together or something. Maybe a little bourbon.
Right. Okay, I don't drink, man, but I love to cook. I just love to cook.
You got it, Kev. Always appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much, Kevin in San Antonio. All righty, two coaches that I think have an enormous amount of pressure on them to get to the semifinal. And let me say it this way, and I'll preface it with this statement. Anyone that's just looking over Boise State and Arizona State, you haven't been paying attention to college football this year. And it shows. Boise State has Ashton Jeanty, who could win the Heisman. Ashton Jeanty's having one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen. Not the greatest, but one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen from a college running back. They played Oregon back in week two. They should have won the game. Ashton Jeanty was able to pop off for 197 yards in that game and had three touchdowns. Arizona State has been one of the hottest teams in the country. Cam Scataboo is unbelievable. We'll see if they get their wide receiver Tyson back. And Sam Levitt, he missed one game this year. They lost that game. They've lost two games total this season, but he was great in that Big 12 championship game. And Kenny Dillingham doesn't fear anybody. So if you're Texas, if you're Clemson, and you're Penn State, or you're SMU, and if you're thinking to yourself, if we just win that opening round game, we will easily walk through to the semifinal and just take care of business and do whatever we want up against Arizona State and Boise State, I think you are mistaken. And I'll go as far to say this. I believe, I'm not saying both, and I got to see the matchup when it does happen and how the games do play out between Texas and Clemson, Penn State, SMU. But when I saw the bracket yesterday, I thought to myself that either Arizona State or Boise State in the 3-4, one of those schools are going to find a way to pull off the upset in the second round. I'm not saying both. I don't know who yet. But either Boise State or Arizona State, I do believe, will be in the semifinal. With that being said, there's a lot of pressure on James Franklin, and there's a lot of pressure on Texas. Because I think Penn State and Texas are not great football teams this year. Texas had two opportunities to beat Georgia. One was at their house. The other, they were playing up against a backup quarterback for a half. They couldn't find a way to get the job done. Penn State, their two biggest games of the season, Ohio State and Oregon. Oh, let's pat Penn State on the head because they showed up against Oregon. They lost the game. They lost up against Ohio State. They had a malfunction, I guess, with their play caller where he just had a brain fart where he forgot to hand the ball off to Tyler Warren when you're at the goal line 2 yards out up against the Buckeyes. So, yes, even though I think one of Boise State or Arizona State could get to the semifinal, with the draw that you got for Penn State and Texas, I would go as far to say it would be an extreme disappointment, and I would even look at their season as a failure if Texas or Penn State, with James Franklin and Sark, aren't in the semifinal. And then anything you do after that, I'll just say no problem. No problem whatsoever. But when I look at those two teams, you have not had a great win this year for Texas, and you've not had a great win this year for Penn State. So win your first game, and then you got to do damage up against Arizona State or Boise State, and anything short of that would be a failure of a season, for my opinion, when I look at James Franklin and Steve Sarkisian this year. 855-212-4227. Let me quickly squeeze in Adrian and Marilyn next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Yo, Adrian, what's shaking?
Hey, Zach, what's up, man? I was listening to your show yesterday, and I actually put down $25 on a plus 530 for Alabama to get in. Cause
yeah, so did I.
We're going to put them in.
We're both out $25, my friend.
Right. Man, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Hey, I got a question for you. The way Georgia was looking for the first half, the way Carson Beck was looking,
yeah,
and they lost that game, do you actually think with the committee saying they weren't going to penalize anybody for losing in their conference championship, would they have put Alabama in over Georgia if Georgia lost that game?
No, and here's why. Two things. One, I think Carson Beck has been more bad than good for most of the season. So if they lost, I don't think they would have penalized them, even though Alabama did defeat Georgia this year. But really, number two, I think a lot of people looked at it and they said, they made the Florida State joke, right? Oh, Jordan Travis got hurt, so then they got to be consistent. They set a precedent. All those precedents get thrown out the window because that was for a four-team playoff. This was for a 12-team playoff, so I don't think an injury would have been a reason why they ended up keeping Georgia out. Adrian, always appreciate the phone call. I'm up against it, so I got to let you run. You can always chime in if you want to talk a little college football playoff, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We will get to a news brief coming up later. I'm wearing a Met sweatshirt today. Marco Belletti, it's not, and he always wears a Yankee hat. You know, this is, if you weren't wearing a Yankee hat, I would think something's wrong with you.
There would be something wrong.
You okay after losing Juan Soto to Queens with the New York Mets?
I'm pissed.
You are. Well, do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tease because I know we're up against it. Your next update, we will talk about Juan Soto because a pissed off Marco Belletti is a Marco Belletti that I enjoy. And very, very nice flannel, by the way. Is that new? Button down?
No.
I've never seen this one from you.
Might be new-ish.
Okay. not the ones that I usually see for the last 8 years or so.
Well, yeah, I don't see it every day anymore.
It's a nice color on
I probably
you.
Haven't seen you in a couple months. So, maybe in the last like 6 months, 8 year. I don't know.
That's a really nice color on you. You know.
Well, thank you.
You probably want to hear that from your wife, not me.
I'm a little uncomfortable. Yeah. You have me at a disadvantage
you
here
know
right
what?
Now.
Let's do this. Let's just get to an update with El Capitan, Marco Belletti.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsCenter, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's start things off. Oh, you know, we're on to UNC. I think there's a chance my girlfriend's going to enroll in grad school at UNC, and she'll get a little advantage because I'm the head football coach, if you know what I'm saying.
This is Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show
on coaching college versus the NFL with the hoodie being linked to UNC?
It seems like college football is more like pro football. I've talked to a lot of college coaches about things like the salary cap and putting value on players and negotiating, kind of mixing all that together. So I think there are some similarities from what I've heard. I haven't experienced it firsthand, but feels like that.
Let's hear more from Bill Belichick. And this is Bill Belichick at Adam Schefter's UNC report that Bill met with UNC for 5 hours over the weekend.
He said he talked to the chancellor. Schefter told us that you talked to him for 5 hours yesterday. Is that real? 5 hours?
Yeah. Let's just leave it at that, Pat. I mean, I don't want to give out too much information. I'll lose my press conference. I want to get my press conference aura back.
He's back. He is back. Bill Belichick 6-7 weeks ago. You know, UNC. I wouldn't go there if my life depended on it. You know, Mac Brown's a friend. He's a great coach, but come on. You know, I'd rather work for that clown, Woody Johnson, than go to UNC. Bill would have been open a few weeks ago. Now, him kind of keeping us all guessing, Stu, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I thought he was using UNC. I still think he is, but I do think there's legs here. Where he's basically sending out a little flare signal. Hey, Jacksonville. Hey, the Giants, the Cowboys. You don't want to back channel to me and say you're going to give me the job or you'd be interested? Then I'll go take the UNC job within a week or two. I do think there's a legitimate chance Bill could be the next head football coach at UNC. Let's get to Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Rob Gronkowski on Fox Sports on the possibility of Belichick to UNC.
Belichick is actually interviewing for college jobs? Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not.
Can you?
Recruiting an 18-year-old?
You really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I mean, I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use off as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team.
You know, there's kids here at Chapel Hill High that would be better than you that I would rather give a scholarship to. All righty. Yeah, you missed this block on a pancake. You could have pancaked this guy right through the A-gap. And now you want $250,000 more from name, image, and likeness. Everyone says NIL. How about just FU? All right? Go into the transfer portal, you miserable football player. You know, Logan Mankins would have never wanted any money. Would have never. All righty, let's keep it moving. Hey, Aaron Rodgers, how about your thoughts on the Jets' 14-year playoff drought?
This organization now, it's 14 straight years without making the playoffs. That's almost hard to do.
What's the question?
Well, can you reflect on that and just why?
I mean, I've started 1 year, so I'm part of it for 1 year. It's disappointing.
It's amazing. It is a weird, funky question because Aaron didn't have anything to do with the other 13 years. He got hurt, so I'm not going to hold that against him. But this is the 1 year that he has something to do with it. But even if there's any way where he could hold himself accountable, he's just incapable of doing it. Let's go to Spencer Danielson, the head football coach at Boise State, on people who are going to be doubting Boise State heading into the playoff.
Knowing this team, Jay, knowing how they're wired, I'm already, like I said, hearing him talk about the guys that are counting us out, that are talking about how, shouldn't be there, or, this is going to be an easy road for SMU and Penn State, whoever wins. Great. Love it. That's what this place is built on. Chip on their shoulder. Please count us out. And that's our guy. So I'm fired up.
I talked to two coaches after their conference championship games. I sent a message to Dan Lanning. We had a little nice back and forth. And then I also sent a message to Spencer Daniels and also thanked him for coming on the show the other week. And he said, thank you, Jesus. So proud of our boys staying in the fight all year long. They deserve it. CFP, let's roll. I love the energy. Love the energy from Coach Danielson. Here is John Summerall at Tulane. There was a lot of rumors he was going to UNC. He put out a statement today, and they've actually come to a new contract with Tulane. But here was him the other day just talking about possibly leaving.
Am I here? I mean, do you want me to leave? All right. I get asked about it every day right now, and I'm like, I know we lost two games. Everybody wants to run me out of town. I'm here. I show up to work today. I'm not going to comment about hypotheticals. And look, Gary, people call. They call my agent. I don't talk to them very often. Like, very little gets to me. Very little. like almost nothing gets to me. Like I'm like, I'm not talking. When it gets to me, it's usually because I'm like, this is something that could be really something I need to consider. Nothing's getting to me right now. I can say that, nothing's getting to me. Could that change? I mean, I don't know. If some newspaper tripled your salary, you might go. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm very happy.
I thought he was gone after that, and he ended up saying. So how about that audio? Love that. Kirby Smart, Georgia coach, on his quarterback, Carson Beck, who injured his UCL in his right elbow. Here is Kirby.
I certainly think, I mean, there's no good script, right, for losing a quarterback or having to go to your backup. There's not a great script for it. It certainly wasn't a great script last night to have to do it against the number one team in the country on defense and have to do that at halftime was tough. But this situation does give you time if that's what has to happen. I mean, there is time there, but experience is so valuable, and you can't really get experience in this amount of time. I wish he'd gotten more game experience up to this point in time. There's not a lot we can do about that.
And Georgia will get Notre Dame, Indiana, whoever wins that. Finally, here's Scott Frost, and leaving UCF for the first time. He's back at UCF.
It was hard for me to leave. It was emotional for me to leave, and there was a lot of pressure for me to go and do something else. Coaching's funny, too. You put yourself out there, and you compete, and you do the best you can, and sometimes it works great, sometimes it doesn't work great. At UCF, it worked great. Sometimes it doesn't.
So there you go, Scott Frost. Who said you can't go home? You're at Nebraska, you went home, and then you go back home to UCF. I understand people are talking about this gritty behind me with the back face. I actually turned that gritty around a few weeks ago. So I guess I'll turn it back forward because some people looking at this gritty mascot behind me, they're saying, oh, it's mooning us on the YouTube chat. So we'll fix that during the break. It is the Zach Gill Show.